Thank you, Rabbi Schwartz, for the kind introduction. Nonetheless, I have to veer off the path of the Gemara, which says that Rabbi used to start his shiur with a joke. So even though the shiur is about no kidding, I'm not going to start off with a joke, and I'm going to start off with an apology. And number one is that apparently, originally scheduled, I'm very glad to be here, and hopefully we'll have a good time together learning. Originally scheduled, Rav Eisenstein from Netiv Arayah was supposed to be here. So Rav Eisenstein was my Rebbe in Shana Bet, and I apologize to you for the fact that he is not able to speak to you this evening, because that's an experience that I wish I was here to hear him speak instead of hearing myself speak. Rav Eisenstein was a tremendous influence on my life, probably besides for maybe family, the one person who had a life-changing impact on me. So I apologize for that. I also apologize if you came here to hear jokes. I think I'm a relatively funny person, but this year is not about... I will not be telling jokes. I will be talking about jokes. And the truth is, it is a little bit halachic problem to even suggest. I don't want to call myself an avarian over here and say that I like to say jokes, because maybe that's not allowed. Joking is a part of our lives, most of our lives, I guess. Jokes are important to us. So the question is, are you allowed to laugh? Sounds like a crazy question to a lot of us, but as we'll see, actually we'll just jump into source number two to give you context. There's a halacha in the Shulchan Aruch that says, Asur la'adam shiyamale piv tzchok ba'olam hazeh. It is forbidden for somebody to fill his mouth with laughter in this world. Now, the goal of the at least first part of this year is to figure out exactly what that means. But the point is that there is a halachic question to talk about. Are we allowed to laugh? Are we allowed to tell jokes? There's a sefer called Shulchan Aruch Hamidos, which I'll be referencing a little bit later on, that says that a rabbi should not actually tell jokes during a drasha or a shir, lest the congregants come to laugh. So from my experience, rabbis are, it's not really a problem, because the jokes aren't usually that funny, but that was my fault. I apologize. Please forgive me, Lifnei Iver, for making Rabbi Schwartz laugh. There are halachic discussions here in terms of the appropriateness of laughter. And what I want to do this evening is to try to analyze the halachic sources on the topic, and we're actually going to do it through the prism of therapy. As Rabbi Schwartz pointed out in the introduction, I am going for a doctorate in psychology, and there is it's not a very common therapy, but it is a relatively popular therapy. It's not much research that proves its effectiveness, but again, it has legs on the ground, called laughter therapy, or in some places, laughter yoga. And what laughter yoga is that a group of people get together in a room and laugh as much as they can. There's no content to the laughing. There are no jokes that are said. They just laugh. And apparently this laughter helps people cope with different various either mental or physical illnesses that they have. It alleviates pain. And if you look in source number one, there is a recap of some of the literature from a textbook called Psychology of Humor, by Rod Marden, who is one of the experts in humor. He quotes here a bunch of different studies and summarizes it. He says, starting with the third line, laughter is said to provide exercise for the muscles and heart, produce muscle relaxation, improve blood circulation, reduce the production of stress-related hormones, such as, I'll leave you to pronounce those on your own, enhance a wide range of immune systems, system variables, reduce pain by stimulating the production of endorphins, reduce blood pressure, enhance respiration, regulate blood sugar levels, remove carbon dioxide and water vapor from the lungs. As such, laughter has been said to provide some degree of protection against cancer, heart attack, stroke, asthma, diabetes, pneumonia, bronchitis, hypertension, migraine, headaches, arthritis, pain, ulcers, and all sorts of infectious diseases ranging from the common cold to AIDS. So laughter, apparently, is important to our mental health. Now, that being said, Dr. Marden is sort of saying some of this tongue-in-cheek. In the last line he says, with such a range of effects, it would seem that laughter threatens to put the major pharmaceutical companies out of business. Right? If laughter can really do all the things that people claim it can do, you know, this seems to be the panacea that'll change the world and make us all more healthy. So Dr. Martin actually, in subsequent pages, goes through and says, if you read the literature a little more carefully, this is, you know, people oversell laughter. It's not as great as some claim is to be, but there is no question that there are benefits to mental health from laughter, from the physical act of laughing. And that's an important distinction. We're not talking about humor now, and we're not talking about happiness. There is an article by Rabbi Daniel Feldman in one of the recent, the Orthodox journals, there was an article, I forgot exactly where it is, where he discusses the value of a sense of humor. We're not talking about a sense of humor. Let's assume you could have a sense of humor. We're talking specifically about laughter. And laughter can be in response to a joke, but again, from this laughter therapy that I discussed before, it could also just be a purely biological act that we are doing. Just laughing, even if there's no content involved. So that biological act of laughing may have these physical and mental health benefits that the literature says or claims that it does. If that's the case, then the question becomes is, you know, on the one hand we have this prohibition from filling our mouths with laughter from the halachic perspective. On the other hand, we have, let's assume that the literature is correct, that laughter is good and beneficial for our mental health. So can these two be reconciled? Can we, if we would like to, participate in a laughter yoga session? Can we go and just get together in a group instead of going to a shir, just get together and laugh out loud, and that'll have benefits for us? So are we allowed to do that, or is that a prohibition, a violation of this Shulchan Aruch halacha of asur la'adam shimala pitzkop ba'olam hazeh? So again, this halachic topic is really on its own. We're seeing it, we're going to see it on its own. We're going to, you know, analyze the halacha as itself. Then by the middle, towards the end, I'm going to sort of bring it out of that limited halachic scope and widen it to this discussion of laughter yoga. So let's jump in. Where does this discussion begin? It starts, as usual, with a Gemara. So if you go to source number 3, the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, there's a bunch of parts and components to this Gemara. I'm not going to treat this as a Gemara Shir, so we're not going to super analyze each component. We're going to go through it pretty quickly, and some of the stuff we'll dwell on a little bit more, but most of it we're just going to get some background from. So Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, so the Gemara wants to know Vigilu Berada. So what is Vigilu Berada? So in a place, talking about the Gemara, talking about the context of the proper mindset during davening. So the Gemara says, I skipped to the second one. We're not going to focus on the davening aspect too much here. But the concept that we're going to get from is Gila. Gilu Berada is telling us in a place that you have Gila, a place where you have a joy and excitement, you should also have trembling, meaning know your place, don't get it too out of hand. So that's the major takeaway that the Gemara is now going to run with. So Abaye, in the second part over here, Abaye have a Yasid Kameh Rabba, Chazi Daba Kabadach Tuva. So Abaye was sitting in front of Rabba, and he saw that he was laughing a little bit too much. Amar v'gilu beradiksiv. What about the fact that there's a concept of not overdoing it? You're laughing too much. You're too excited. What about balancing the gila and the ra'ada? So his answer was Amar le ana tefillin manach. Now I'm wearing tefillin. So we'll have to get to a little bit later. What does tefillin help here? What does the fact that you're wearing tefillin save him from this problem of balancing gilu and ra'ada? We'll get to that a little bit later. The Gemara continues, Mar Brei Dravina, Abed Hilula Lebrei, made a wedding for his son. Chazinu Barban Dava Kabatsky Tuba. Again, the rabbis were getting out of hand, those crazy rabbis. So Icy Casa de Mokra, he took an expensive piece of glass, Bas Arba Me'azuzi, V'tabar Kamayu V'itzivu. So he broke it in front of them, and they sort of sombered the mood. He killed the mood. The next source, the next part of source number 3, Amar B'Yochanan Mishum Rebbe Yishimon Bar Yochai, and this is really the main text for our discussion. Asur la'adam shimale schok pi ba'olam hazeh. So Rebbe Yochanan says in the name of Rashbi that it is forbidden for a person to fill his mouth with laughter in this world. What's the source? Did he just make it up? So no, gets it from a famous pasuk. Shenamar, az yemale schok pinu ulshonenu rina. Az, when's az? When will our mouths be filled with laughter? Emasai, bizman shiyomru bagoyim higdil Hashem lasosim eila. At the time when the goyim will say, look how great Hashem is, what he did with the Jewish people. So that's the prohibition. It is forbidden to fill our mouth with laughter because our filling of our mouths with laughter should be only at that time when the goyim will recognize what Hashem has done with us. Namely, when is that going to be? I guess in the times when Mashiach comes. We'll have to discuss that a little bit more in depth in a moment. Amru alav al Reish Lakish. So the Gemara comments that it was said about Reish Lakish, Shemiyamav lo male schok pi ba'olam hazeh, Michishama Rabbi Yochanan Rabbe. So he did not fill his mouth with laughter in this world, I guess in contrast to Olam Haba, I don't know. Once he heard this statement from Rabbi Yochanan, his Rebbe, he no longer filled his mouth with laughter. So the question is, you know, what is this, what's going on here? What is the reason for this? And what is the actual halacha about this? Does this come down to the halachic sources? So, what do you think the reason for this is? Why does Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai hold that you cannot fill your mouth with laughter in this world? From the Gemara, what seems to be the main impetus for such a statement? From the right, the Gemara is talking about what? It's talking about when. Okay, let's ask this way: when will we be able to fill our mouth with laughter? Right, at some, when Mashiach comes, let's say. So now we can't. So what's the reason why we can't? Because of Golos. Okay? How can you be so happy and laugh so much when the Beis Hamikdash is not around? It's destroyed. We're in Golos. How can you, right? So it seems to be a Golos-oriented type of idea here. There's a prohibition to fill our mouth with laughter because we're in Golos. Okay, so that's one way to read it. And in fact, if you look in source number 4, that's what the Ramban says. The Ramban says, Perek Ein Omdin L'Sfala, quotes our Gemara, Amar B'Yochan, Mishrim, Mishrim, B'Yochai, Oslo, Adem, Shemal, Pitzchok, Pibol, Amazek, Lomar. As if to say, Bizman Golos. He says it explicitly. When is it prohibited? At the time of Golos. Shene Amar, Azim, Ali, Schok, Pino, Shene Rina, Emasai, Mal, Schok, Pino, Shene Rina, Bizman, Shem, Rogami, Gila, Shem, etc., etc., etc. So according to the Ramban, this is a Golos-oriented Avera, or prohibition. You cannot do this in a time of Golos. When Mashiach comes, go ahead, fill your mouth with laughter all you want. Okay, that's the Ramban's perspective, but that's not everybody's perspective. Rabbeinu Yonah stands in contrast with the Ramban. He actually quotes the Ramban and rejects it. Skip to 6, not number 5. Source number 6. So, Asu la'adam shimali sok pi ba'olam hazeh, yesh mefarshim, there are those that say, i.e. the Ramban, shetama davar ibnei chorban beis hamikdash, avashalo b'shas chorban mutter, that if it wasn't, right, when Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, then it would be permitted to fill one's mouth with laughter. The Ein Zeh Nachum. This is not correct. The Im Kain, Lo Haya Lo Lomar Ba'olam Hazeh. Right? What's the words of the Gemara? It says, Ba'olam Hazeh. It should have said, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash. It doesn't distinguish between when the Beis HaMikdash is here and when the Beis HaMikdash is not here. It distinguishes between this world and, I don't know, it doesn't say next world, but this world and when the Goyim say, look how great Hashem is, right? So it's easier to say, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, but that's not exactly what the Gemara says. But the Gemara does not say when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed versus when it's built. So that's why Rabbeinu Yonah rejects the Ramban. If that's the case, what is the reason for this prohibition? If it's not Golos-oriented, and let's forget about the language in the Gemara. If it's not Golos-oriented, why would somebody say you can't fill your mouth with laughter? What would be the impetus for such a ruling? What's Rav Shimon bar Yochai trying to teach us here? Hashem's presence. So what does that do with laughing? When I can't fill my mouth with laughter, why? Oh, okay, so you're sort of going with the Beis HaMikdash approach, but taking it away from Beis HaMikdash and moving to Hashem's. Okay, maybe, but let's move away from Beis HaMikdash, away from Hashem's presence, and think of another reason.
Less serious-minded, we're not on a spiritual matter, we're too lighthearted. Lighthearted maybe leads to problems in sins that could lead to the
okay,
problem,
excellent.
Embarrassing someone, belittling someone.
Okay, when we're in a lighthearted mood, let's say, or again, we're not talking necessarily about mood here, but you're right. If I'm laughing too much, so that could lead to what? Right? Think Perkei Avos. What's Rabbi Akiva say? Excellent. Schok v'kalas rosh margil on the erba. Right? When you laugh too much and you play around too much, you're too lightheaded, that can lead to, you know, illicit relationships and relations. So there is something going on here. If I laugh too much, maybe that'll decrease my inhibitions and make me do some sort of sin. So Rabbi Yonah actually doesn't quote Perkei Avos, but look what he says. He says, even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it's usher to fill our mouth with laughters. Why? Notice, he goes from laughter to simcha, which can be a different discussion. We can have a whole discussion on simcha. But he says that simcha, let's just translate now as laughter, even though it's not a fair translation. Laughter is margila es ha'adam. It makes us forget mitzvos. Right, and lead to averus. So you have really here two different opinions and two main opinions. Is this prohibition gullus oriented, Khorban oriented? You know, Hashem's presence isn't fully felt in this world. How can you laugh so much? Or is it more just Beis HaMikdash? No, Beis HaMikdash is not the point. The point is that when we laugh, we're more likely to do something inappropriate. Okay, so don't fill your mouth with laughter because of that inappropriateness. And that's a debate between the Ramban and Rabbeinu Yonah. Interestingly, the Ritva, in source number 7, takes the Rabbeinu Yonah's approach. But if you remember, Rabbeinu Yonah said, it doesn't matter if it's in the times of the Beis HaMikdash or not in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you can't fill your mouth with laughter because you might come to sin. The Ritva says, really the reason of the prohibition is like Rabbeinu Yonah, that it has to do with leading to sin. But it won't apply during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? You're allowed to fill your mouth with laughter in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? If it's not Korban-oriented, what does the Beis HaMikdash solve? Well, look at his language. Avalimosa Mashiach, source 7, Deleika Yetzer Hara, Leika L'michash. We don't have to worry about it, because there's no Yetzer Hara when the Beis HaMikdash comes. That's another discussion in terms of what exactly is going to happen when Mashiach comes and the Beis HaMikdash comes. But the Rafa here has an interesting take on it, that you can laugh as much as you want because it's not going to be margil le'erva, because, come on, there's going to be no sins when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. Okay, you know, take it or leave it. The Ramban, yeah?
Okay, well, first.
Yeah, so
but isn't it right there in the saying, fill your mouth? So that means really excessive. It doesn't say some fill.
So we'll get there. We'll have to...
not so much.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see what exactly, how you, you know, quantify this. A final approach, which we won't spend too much time on, can be found in the Rambam. It's an important point. The Rambam doesn't quote this exact Gemara line anywhere. He doesn't say, Aser la'adam l'malei shok pei b'lamazeh. But if you look in source number 8, the Rambam, in his general discussion of Hilchos Deos, says, Lo yehe adam bal shok umehatlut. I don't know if that's the exact correct pronunciation. So he says you shouldn't be somebody who is known as a laughing person, a jokester. Kach amru chachamim. So he quotes Perkei Avos here. And now here's an interesting line. V'tzivu shelo yehe adam paritz b'schok. Says tzivu. The rabbis commanded that someone shouldn't be parutz b'schok. How would you translate parutz b'schok? What?
Bursting.
Yeah, bursting with laughter. Or somebody, again, who is, getting back to your point, is overly laughing. He's laughing way too much. He's a jokester. He's characterized by laughing. It seems that that's how the Gemara understands, that's how the Rambam understands the Gemara. That it's a midos-oriented thing, sort of like Rabbeinu Yonah, that we shouldn't be somebody who laughs too much. You should be in the middle. You shouldn't be too sad. You shouldn't be too jokey. You should be somewhere in the middle of, you know, sometimes joking maybe, but not too depressed. You know, the middle golden mean according to the Rambam. Interesting, as a side point, this language of vitzivu, they commanded. This is going to be important in a little bit. What does vitzivu mean? Is sivu a commandment? The Rambam has this language of vitzivu in a number of places, and there's an article by Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Levy, and I originally heard Rabbi Willig quote this, because the Rambam uses this in the context of the Rambam says that it is prohibited. Bitzibu chachamim, the chachamim commanded that you shouldn't teach your daughter Torah. So, does that mean it's an actual prohibition or not? Rabbi Levi makes the argument, and Rabbi Willig agrees with this, that tzivu in the Rambam doesn't mean prohibited. It means strongly suggested and could change based on context and based on society, which is important for the women learning Torah discussion. And it would be important here as well that tzivu, according to the Rambam, may not mean a strict prohibition, but rather means a strong suggestion by the rabbis, good advice that we should follow. Okay, so those are four approaches, but we're just going to, for now, just break it down to two. You have the Ramban on one hand, which says that this is a gullus, an exile-oriented commandment, idea, and then the Rabbeinu Yonah on the other hand that said it's more of a midos-oriented idea. So how do we paskin? Right? Do we paskin? Think about it. Would you, if you didn't have a introduction to the fact that we're going to be giving a shir on this topic, and you've never seen any of these sources, would you ever think that this Gemara would make it into the Shulchan Aruch? When you read this Gemara, is this a Gemara that you say, oh, this is a, you know, a strict halachic Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch is for sure going to pick up on? Or when you read it, you say, okay, let me look in the Ein Yaakov to see what he has to say and see what the Mefarshim say, and it's a nice drasha for maybe a Shabbos morning, but, you know, I would never think of looking in the Shulchan Aruch. So before I looked into this, I would have thought the latter rather than the former. This isn't a halacha. This is a musarvort. And maybe that's what the Rambam's picking up on as well. But the Shulchan Aruch does pick up on it. And it starts here with the Tur. So look in the Tur, source number 9. And we want to figure out by looking through these sources is, does the Shulchan Aruch, do the poskim, follow one or the other, or both of these reasons for the prohibition. And we'll see why the reasons for the prohibition will be important soon. So the Torah says, and look where the Torah is located. So it's important to look where the halacha is located. In Hilchos, source number 9, Hilchos Tisha B'Av. Okay, so we already can get a thought of what the Torah is going to say. V'asur la'adam shi'yamal yischok piv bizman hazeh, shenemar az yamal yischok pinu. So notice how we changed the language of the Gemara, at least according to this Girsa in the Torah. The Gemara said, ba'olam hazeh. The Torah says, bizman hazeh. So what does he mean, bizman hazeh? So look how the Beis Yosef interprets him in source number 10. Va'asul adam shimal yischok piv, he says, begolus hazeh, shenemar az yamal yischok pinu. He quotes our Gemara, and he says, this is the second line, mefarsh Rabbeinu. The Torah explains, dibimea golus. Dafka Kamar, this is only a gullus-oriented idea. V'kach perish Ramban, b'toras ha'adam. Already quotes our Ramban. Aval Rabbeinu Yonah perish, d'shalobi me'a gullus nami ka'amar, sha'simcha yisera margila es ha'adam lishkoach ha'mitzvah. So the Beis Yosef quotes both opinions. He says the Torah seems to be following the Ramban, but don't forget that the Rabbeinu Yonah disagrees. That's what the Beis Yosef does. So how does this translate into the halacha and the Shulchan Aruch? So if you go back to our source number 2 from the first side, when we quoted the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? So notice he quotes it, he doesn't move it, so it's still in Hilchos Tisha B'Av, but he says, Asur la'adam shimalei piv tzchok ba'olam hazeh. He changes it, the word back, to the Gemara's language of olam hazeh, and no longer uses the word of the Tur, where the Tur said, bizman hazeh, or how the Beis Yosef understood it as begalus hazeh. So it seems that the Beis Yosef is not taking sides on this issue. That the reason for the prohibition is not clear according to the Beis Yosef, and perhaps we'd have to assume that he thinks it's both. He quoted both, and he seems to purposefully move back to the original language of the Gemara against what the Tur translated the Gemara to mean, which would lead us to believe that we would have to follow both of these ideas when interpreting this halacha. So what about the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch? So let's look back in source number 11. So the Magen Avram here says, what's the reason for this prohibition? Kischok v'kalas rosh margil in the Arabic. He takes a midos approach. The Taz quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, that you know, which is the midos approach, but he also quotes the Tur that says the Golus hazeh. So what is it? Is it a exile thing or is it a midos thing? So the Taz says sheyesh chiluk b'zeh. So it depends. D'le'inyan simcha she'enu shel mitzvah. And this is an important distinction that'll come up a little bit later on. We can distinguish between types of laughter, types of simcha. Is it a simcha that is mitzvah-oriented, or is it just stam, regular laughing that has no content, no religious content at all? So he says that if it is simcha she'eino shel mitzvah, we're not talking about an avera laughter. That's an important caveat also. Whenever we talk about laughter and we're discussing about whether or not this is, what type of laughter is allowed or not in terms of quantity of laughter, if it is something that is an inappropriate joke or it's a joke that makes fun of somebody, then that's off the table. That's not allowed according to everybody. So that's not the discussion we're having here. If it's an inappropriate joke that either is inappropriate for erva reasons or inappropriate because it hurts somebody's feelings, that's not in the discussion. So right now we're talking about either neutral laughter or mitzvah laughter. So the Taz says neutral laughter, again, simple she'eino shel mitzvah, is vaday aser afilu shelo bizman agolos l'malei pitzvot. So if it's even in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, neutral laughter is allowed, but it's not allowed if you're filling your mouth with it. And we'll have to define exactly what that means. But if it is simcha shel mitzvah, so simcha shel mitzvah was allowed, you were allowed to fill your mouth with laughter for a mitzvah simcha when the Beis HaMikdash was around. And that's, you know, the simchas Beis HaShoeva, the Gemara describes, the Rambam describes how much simcha was involved there. That was when the Beis HaMikdash was around. Now that the Beis HaMikdash is no longer around, the gullus aspect of this is that you're not even allowed to fill your mouth with laughter for a simcha of mitzvah. So no filling your mouth with laughter at all, according to the Taz. So now, if we take this, you know, this simple halachic analysis, and we still have to get to how to define what filling your mouth with laughter is, but if we take this simple halachic analysis and we assume that the Shulchan Aruch is saying it is prohibited, all right, and we're talking about, you know, let's go back to our laughter yoga discussion for a second. So however you define filling your mouth with laughter, the concept of laughter therapy or laughter yoga is actually filling your mouth with laughter. Like, you're actually doing that. You're laughing to as much extent as possible. So would that be allowed? So at first glance, it seems no, because the Shulchan Aruch has a halacha that says you can't fill your mouth with laughter. I don't care if it's gullus-oriented. I don't care if it's midos-oriented. You just can't do it. So the question is that the conclusion? Is that the end of the story, that there's no room for laughter yoga? There's no room for filling your mouth with laughter in another context because that's the halacha, or maybe there is some room to work with here. So what I want to do now is give three different possible reasons for leniency here. Three reasons for leniency. Why would I, if somebody came to me, I'm not a posek, so nobody would come to me, but in theory, if somebody came to me and asked me, can I go to a laughter yoga session or a laughter therapy session, can I do that? I would strongly consider arguing yes for three possible reasons. And now let's go through all three of these reasons. And each one of these in itself, to me, are fascinating discussions, regardless of this actual question of laughter or laughter yoga. The three, you know, sort of mini things that we're going to discuss now is, number one, is what is the connection between halacha and midos? Are they the same thing? Is there a distinction? So I think we generally, when we think about halacha and midos, we think about them as two distinct categories. There's halacha that tells me the law, and then there is midos that, you know, suggestions for me if I want to be a nice person. Right? So again, the rabbi will give a drasha on how to, you know, have proper midos. You'll go to a Musar Shmuz, you'll have your Musar Seder on proper midos, but if I want to know the halacha, then I'm going to go to ask a shayla from a posek. So the question is that distinction a valid distinction? Is there really a difference between midos and halacha? So I argue not as much as we thought originally. So if you look in, and there's a number of people who discuss this, one of them is Rabbi Yehuda Levy, who we quoted before in a different context. So in a different book, he has a book called Sha'ari Talmud Torah in Hebrew. It's translated into Torah Study in English. It's a great book. It goes through a lot of topics dealing with the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. I believe I have an extra copy that I'm trying to sell on Amazon, so if you're interested, you can go check that out. In this book, Torah Study, he has a chapter on this idea of what we would generally call non-halachic concepts of midos, stuff like that. So what is the bearing of midos? Are midos optional while halacha is mandatory? So he argues absolutely not. And both halacha and midos are obligatory. And this is based on the Rambam in part because the Rambam says the mitzvah of halacha bedrachav. What's the mitzvah of halacha bedrachav? To follow in Hashem's midos, right? Mahu racha, mafata, right? All of those things that would be required through halacha bedrachav is the mitzvah of midos, which is why, you know, there's a famous Rav Chaim Vital who asked, why are midos not one of the 613 mitzvahs? Why doesn't the Torah talk about midos? Right? So he says it's the beginning and it's all-encompassing. According to the Rambam, it's not a question. According to the Rambam, the Torah does command us about midos. Valachta bedrachav is a commandment about midos. And he quotes, Rabbi Levy quotes Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. This is in the Hebrew footnotes. Now, I don't think it made its way into the English book. But in the Hebrew footnotes, he quoted Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was very against this concept of non-halachic mitzvahs. What's a non-halachic mitzvah? It's either a mitzvah and you have to do it, or if it's not a mitzvah and you don't have to do it. Midos are a mitzvah. You have to work on your midos. So if that's the case, what's the distinction between halacha, as we call it, and midos, as we call it? So it seems that the part of the distinction, if you look through some of these sources, is that halachos in general are more legal in the sense that they give you exact parameters. And obviously there are kulas and chumras and situations do play a part in halacha, but in general it's a law. You look in the law book and you paskin the shaila. When it comes to midos, even though they're obligatory, it's less structured. It's more subjective and less objective. You can't look in a sefer to paskin a midos shaila. It depends on the person, depends on where he is in life, it depends on his personality traits, it depends on, you know, you have this distinction all over in the difference between a Talmud Chacham and a normal person. Talmud Chacham has to live to a higher standard. Doesn't mean the normal person, you know, the regular Joe Schmo, doesn't have to work on midos. It just means that it's a different level. There's a different thing that person is working on. So midos are obligatory, they're just less structured and more subjective. So if that's the case, let's try to plug this into our laughter discussion. So we have two different possibilities. Is the prohibition for laughter because it's galus oriented, or is it because it's midos oriented? Right? So if it's midos oriented, so then what can we argue? That it's more subjective. Right? There's more wiggle room. There's more room to discuss. Depends on the person. So you get this laughter yoga question, and the person comes to you, and he wants to do laughter yoga, not because he wants to be margil in the erva, or that he wants to do averos, and the context is it's a laughter yoga session run by, you know, a frum rabbi, and everybody, and there's a mechitza, and there's, you know, and everything's is kosher. So then maybe, you know, you could start discussing, is it something that would be appropriate or not? The truth is you can make that same discussion, that same argument, if it's golus oriented. And here's where it gets back to your point. How do you define filling your mouth with laughter? How many other mishnayos in Pirkei Avos make their way into Shulchan Aruch? Not that many. This seems to be a rare instance, right? Ezu Ashir Asomech Bechalko, you'll find that in, you know, Or HaChaim Simen. It's not there. So what exactly is going on here? And why is it, let's do a thought experiment for a second. So I'm up in Shemayim, and I'm being judged. The prosecutor says, you filled your mouth with laughter. So I have a good defense attorney. The defense attorney goes back to the prosecutor and says, please define for me, what does that mean, filling it? How did he fill his mouth with laughter? And hopefully, whatever the prosecutor will say back, my defense lawyer will try to pull apart his argument to the point that this is a vague definition. What does that mean, fill your mouth with laughter? And the poskim dealt with this. Look in, I think I quoted to you here, the Aruch HaShulchan, source number 13. So again, come to the rabbi. Tell me, what does it mean? I can't fill my mouth with laughter. So this is what the Aruch HaShulchan has to say. Also, the adam shemali pifzchok b'al mazeh, kizchok kalzrosh magil l'erba, v'zehu afilu b'zman ha-mikdash, aser v'zehu ki... Okay, so now, here's the definition. V'zehu kishaosik b'haschok zman meruba im acherim. This is a prohibition if you deal with laughter for a long time with other people, Aval schok ba'alma leislan ba. But schok ba'alma, whatever that, how you define that, there's no problem with that. So this is a vague definition to explain a vague definition. It gives us a little bit more, but it's really still not clear what exactly does it mean, fill your mouth with laughter. Yeah.
If you take the position that it's always usher, whether it's when the Beis HaMikdash exists or not, and you're saying, the Pasuk of Tehillim is saying that at a certain time this is going to happen. So how can we say it's always going to be usher?
Well, does anybody say it's always usur? No, they would say that it would be, if it's shal mitzvah, Tal says if it's shal mitzvah, it'll be mutter. So it's usur only if it's not shal mitzvah. It'll always be usur. According to everybody else, there is some point when it will be mutter. That's a good question. But here the question is again, how do we define it? So I'll give you some other definitions. You don't have this here in front of you. The Shaar Mitzion Balacha, Rabbi Brown, who had a shul down the block from my house where I grew up in Brooklyn. So in his commentary on the Kitzel Shulchan Aruch, his language is, La'avur schok kal al sefasav is okay. You can't fill your mouth with laughter, but you can, I'll try to translate it, pass a light laugh on one's lips. That is permitted. Okay, so you can a little bit of a laugh, but, you know, what is prohibited? I don't know, it's still like this gamut of, you know, middle ground that hasn't been covered. A little bit on my lips I can do, filled mouth I can't do. What does filled mouth mean? Still don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
In order to open up the shear. So I guess that'd be that middle ground of not filling out the laughter.
Right. So, yes. There are those that, and I did, I've seen this a few years back, but I don't remember who it was. There are those that even reinterpret that. It depends how, you know, some people when they go in interpreting this aren't very, you know, sense of humor type of people, and will reinterpret everything along a gloom line. And some will interpret it at face value. He said a joke. So again, I mentioned before, maybe nobody laughed. So you might be able to say a joke. The question is the laughter. But you're right. They probably weren't, you know, laughing, rolling on the floor, laughing out loud right before the shiur starts. But there's some, what I was getting to is there's some who actually say that wasn't even a joke. It was like a mind teaser. It was like a puzzle that he got, that he gave to get their mind thinking a little bit. But that's not, you're right. In the main regular interpretation, he actually did say a joke. But it wasn't, I'm guessing he didn't say this joke that had everybody, you know, laughing on the floor. But here's a third definition from the Shulchan Aruch Hamidos, which the book I quoted to you before. He said, this is a relatively funny definition. He says, it is forbidden to laugh with a full mouth, and I quote, with one's 248, right, with Ramach Evarav Vishasa Gidav. That's what's prohibited. To fill your mouth with laughter using all, you know, 248 limbs and 365 of your Gidim. So here's your kula. Next time you want to laugh, make sure your pinky doesn't get involved. Right? So control your pinky and you're okay. Because as long as all of those parts of your body were not involved, you're okay. I think the point here, and I know I'm joking a little bit, but I think the point here is that this shouldn't be defined, right? This is, the Shulchan Aruch was purposefully vague. This is, even if it's a midos or a golos oriented thing here, it's subjective in the sense that it does depend on context. And this whole mitzvah, the whole prohibition of filling your mouth with laughter depends on context. And there are sometimes where there is a prohibition out there. And at some point in our lives, we may have violated that prohibition, or we might have, or we might. But to try to sit down every time to figure out, is this, you know, did I laugh a little bit too much or not enough? Can I, you know, it's a little bit much, because that's not really what the goal here. The goal here is for us to be aware in our consciousness that either too much laughter can lead to sin, so be aware of that when you're laughing and don't go too far, or too much laughter is you're not thinking about Golus. It's insensitive to the fact that the Shechina is not in its full glory now, and we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. So keep that in mind when you're laughing. I think this is, in my understanding, this is the point of this, is that keep either one or both of those things in mind while you're laughing so you don't go too far. What is too far? I'm not going to give you a precise definition, because that depends on you, and it depends on the context, and it depends on the situation. So if you bring this down to, you know, to laughter yoga, again, I think if the context is, again, there's no jokes. You're just laughing. You're doing it to, you know, have positive mental health benefits. Keep in mind, as you're doing it, keep in mind that the Beis HaMikdash is in here. Keep in mind that, you know, you should have machitz in the middle if that's appropriate or not appropriate. But the point is that it's not a strict isser, according to this interpretation. There's some subjectivity, and perhaps we can work the subjectivity into the laughter yoga discussion. And that on its own, you could debate, and again, I'm not giving you a halachic psak here, but let's see the second discussion. And this is another fascinating discussion in terms of what does the word asr mean? We alluded to this before with the Rambam Sivu, but the Gemara uses the word asr. And whenever the Gemara uses the word asr, or the Shulchan Aruch uses the word asr, we assume it means forbidden, prohibited. So not so fast. And this is fascinating. So if you look in the Sefer HaEshkol, so in source number 14, so he says, the Kus of Gonzal, Bisurei d'amar rabbanan d'lav d'oraisa. So in some he calls it a prohibition. So he's not my end game over here. He's the beginning of the discussion. He says the prohibitions that are rabbinically oriented and in lav d'oraisa, they have no biblical context at all. Like lemalos chok pei b'al hamazeh, or l'shamesh mitaso b'shanei re'avon. So you shouldn't have marital relations in a time where there's a famine. I think Rashi quotes that by Yosef. Velishin b'yom yoter mishen asasus. You shouldn't take a nap during the day. The Gemara uses the word usher in all of these contexts. So he says, kol kiyotzeban, all of these types of cases, ein aleim l'malkos l'nidui elekornos over al takanas kham. So there's no actual prohibition. You're just called somebody who violated the rabbinic decree. Okay, according to him, it's usher. But look at Tosos now. Tosos source number 15 quotes one of those examples. Asr lo adam l'shamish mitaso b'shanei re'avon. Ve'im tomar hare yocheved nolda ben achomos v'oso ha'es es ra'av ha'yos. What about yocheved? She was born in a time of a famine. So v'alkein v'alkorchach shimshu mitaso b'shanei re'avon. Obviously they had relations in the time of a famine. So v'yesh lomar, so how do you reconcile this? D'lekule alma lo ave iser. It's not a prohibition. The Gemara uses asr. Not a prohibition. If you want to do this level of piety, go ahead. Prohibition? No. The Gemara uses the word asr. Doesn't matter. It's a midas chasidus. That's what Tosfos says. And there are those who, in our context of filling our mouth with laughter, including Rabbi Yosef Engel, the Ben Ishchai, you have there quoted in the Hebrew there, who say that this is a midas chasidus, not filling your mouth with laughter, even though the Gemara says asr, even though Shulchan Aruch says asr, does not mean prohibited. It means a midas chasidus. It's a pious thing to do, but it is not obligatory at all. And Rav Yosef Engel brings a proof, right? What does the Gemara say? Reish Lakish, what did Reish Lakish do? He never filled his mouth with laughter. Mazel tov, it's asr. We're going to give him a star and reward because he did something, he followed a mitzvah. Rather, you see that it's not. It's a midas chasidus, and we're praising him for his midas chasidus. That's his proof from the Gemara. And Ben Ishchai, you can read on your own, also says the midas chasidus. And when I spoke to Rav Willig about this a few years ago, so he said that in the case, assuming laughter yoga or laughter therapy is actually beneficial for your mental health, which the truth is, the literature is still out there to decide that. But assuming that that's true, then you can rely on these opinions that say that it's just a midas chasidus if you want to participate in laughter yoga. So finally, the third category here, the third possible room, or at least starting discussion for leniency, is another fascinating question of what is the room, how does halacha view mental health, right? So this goes back to Rabbeinu Yonah from before. So we saw the Taz, the Taz discussed the distinction between a mitzvah-oriented laughter and a non-mitzvah-oriented laughter. And that basis is in the Rabbeinu Yonah. So if you remember the Gemara says that Rabbah criticizes Abaye for laughing too much. Abaye responds that there's no reason to be concerned because he's wearing tefillin. So what does tefillin help? Why does tefillin help this? He's laughing too much. Why is tefillin going to help? What do you think? Tefillin. So it's going to keep me oriented. I'm not going to go too far. It's a reminder not to go too far. Rabbeinu Yonah says that's not what it means. What it means to tell us is that Abaye's laughter was a laughter of mitzvah. We don't usually think about, when we put on tefillin, hopefully we have a simcha of shel mitzvah, that's an important concept. You don't usually think about laughing about it, but he was so excited and so happy, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that he was laughing about the laughter, about the tefillin, and that laughter of mitzvah is permitted. That's what the tefillin is reminding, is the impetus for his laughter. So he's saying, no, this is a permitted type of laughter. Okay, so that's his response to his Rebbe. And if you think about it also, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says that it's prohibited to do an olam hazeh type of laughter. So a mitzvah laughter is not it's not a gashmias type of laughter. It's not an olam hazeh type of laughter. It's a more spiritual type of laughter, and therefore it would be permitted. If this is the case, that we have a heter for filling our mouth with laughter for a mitzvah purpose, remember, the Taz doesn't say this. The Taz says that now when the Beis HaMikdash is not around, you cannot fill your mouth with laughter, even of mitzvah. But there are those poskim that disagree. So assuming that, like the poskim that say that, you can fill your mouth with laughter for a mitzvah type of laughter, the question is increased mental health considered a mitzvah? So, we know that if there's a pikuach nefesh shayla, if somebody's in physical danger, you know, it's a mitzvah to save that person, it's a mitzvah to heal that person. Poskim extend that to mental illness as well. If somebody is mentally ill, that can be considered a pikuach nefesh type of a shayla, and therefore you would be able to, intervene. And I'm sure Rabbi Schwartz is talking to you in the past about, questions, halachic, discussions about when you have to violate, can you violate a mitzvah to treat OCD or to treat, those discussions come up. And, if you're going to assume yes on that, that could be because there's an illness here and we have to treat that illness. It's sort of like a pikuach nefesh type of thing. Not that every case of OCD is pikuach nefesh, but it's within that medical treatment orientation. So, and I asked Reshefter about this and he said, if, again, assuming that the literature is correct, that laughter yoga is effective to treat, let's say, depression, or to treat, somebody who has those type of symptoms, then it would be permitted because it's a mitzvah to heal that person. Here's the question, though, and we'll close with this. And this is really what I'm interested in, and I don't have a good answer for you. So there's a psychologist by the name of Martin Seligman, who is the founder, the starter of the new positive psychology movement. And according to him, the goal of positive psychology is to supplement, let's say, in the past and continually, what psychologists generally focus on is that if somebody is, let's say, at a -7, it doesn't mean anything in practicality, but just for example, is what we would call a -7 in mental health. And the psychologist's job is to try to get him to a -2 and to make him do a little bit more functional. What positive psychology tries to do is to take somebody who's at a +2 and make them into a +7. Right? So what can we do to somebody who's not mentally ill or has an issue psychologically but wants to live a more optimal life, wants to have more optimal functioning, have increased mental health but doesn't have the deficiency to start with? So that's the goal of positive psychology. So here's my question. My question is let's say, again, assuming laughter yoga is actually effective, and I am a +2 right now, and I want to be a +7. And not only do I want to be a +7, I think being a +7 is going to help my Yiddishkeit, it's going to help my relationship with Hashem, it's going to help my relationship with my family, it's going to help my physical health. All of these things that I think I can get to if I do this laughter yoga. I spend 5 minutes a day doing laughter yoga, laughing, lightening up my serious day that really usually drags me down a lot. Can I survive without it? Can I function without it? Yes. But I really want to be a +7. So how, if this is a real prohibition, which it might not be, which we saw. Maybe it's just a midas chasidus, maybe it's just midos in general, and there's some subjectivity. But even if this is a real prohibition, what does halakha say about, it's obviously not a deraisa, and I would call it a lower level derabanan, even if it is prohibited. How much wiggle room is there to say, can I do laughter yoga to increase my mental health? So Rav Schechter was not willing to go that far. And I'm not sure anybody is at this point, but I think in combination with these other factors, maybe it could help. But I think that in the future, this perhaps can trigger more discussions and more scenarios where there's some level of conflict between me trying to be more mentally healthy and maybe some midas chasidus, some halacha, some something. And the question is, how does halacha view that, and can I perhaps violate something in order to be increased mentally health? I don't think you can, but here it's a little bit different, because what are we doing here? Simcha shel mitzvah is mutter, right? So our question isn't whether we can violate a prohibition to be more mentally healthy. Our question is, do we count increased mental health as a mitzvah? So if increased mental health is a mitzvah, then when we say a simcha of mitzvah is permitted, maybe this is considered a simcha shel mitzvah. You're not violating anything. That's allowed. So I don't know what the answer to that is. My personal natia is that it should be, because it sounds like a mitzvah, and again, it could increase other mitzvahs. I could do more mitzvahs if I'm more functioning more optimally, and I'll have better, again, relationships. I'll do all these. There's wonderful benefits to living a more mentally healthy life. I can't see why that wouldn't be counted as a mitzvah. So here it's not a mental health versus an avera. It's mental health as a mitzvah, which would be allowed because a simcha of mitzvah or a laughter of mitzvah is allowed according to those poskim. So in conclusion, I think my goal tonight was to discuss a halachic topic of laughter, and in itself is an important topic. And we saw a discussion about what's the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, what's the reason? Is it Golos oriented? Is it Midos oriented? And the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins this way. And so that's the halachic discussion in terms of its immediate context. And we tried to broaden the discussion a little bit to see it through the prism of this concept of laughter therapy or laughter yoga, to see whether or not, if there actually is a formal prohibition, if it's something that we would permit to do, you know, quote-unquote, against this halacha. And what I suggested is three reasons that we would permit it, because it's really not against the halacha, either because it's a midos-oriented, and even if it's a gullus-oriented, it's more subjective in the sense that the goal is to not go too far, and as long as you realize that you shouldn't go too far to do an aver or to forget about the fact that we're in exile, then it should be okay. So it's not conflicting against the mitzvah per se, but or against this law, but it's within that parameter, or that there's no prohibition in the first place. It's just a midas chasidus. Or finally, that maybe increased mental health could be considered in the category of a laughter of mitzvah, which would then be permitted in this context. Again, the literature has to be, there's one article on laughter yoga and whether or not it's effective, and it's in a pretty bad journal. I shouldn't say that. No evaluative statements. It's not in the best journal out there. If it is effective, you know, we'll have to deal with that issue when it comes up. But, you know, most people have never heard of this. But there are a lot of people, if you know, that I went to, you know, just off the, you know, on the, not literally on the street, but just to ask them if they've ever, and some people really heard of it. Some people actually do it. You know, regular people who you would meet on the street or you know would actually do laughter yoga because it's fun for them and they like it and it makes them feel good. So it is a relevant question, and hopefully we all gained a little bit from the discussion. Mishnechnas Adar Marbim Besimcha. So hopefully this helped a little bit. Any questions before we go? No?
Thank you very much, Shimon, for a wonderfully clear and very exciting shiur on a very exciting topic. Opening all of our minds. I also want to remind you that Be'ezus Hashem next week, Rabbi Bamrin, Chief Halachic Inspector for the State of New Jersey in the Kashrus Division, will be here. He's also a cousin in marriage and whatnot to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and of course, appropriately, he'll be speaking on Rav Moshe's halachic decisions as we approach Rav Moshe's yahrzeit, and of course, spread the word. It's going to be exciting. Thank you all very much.